Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Brian Shirley, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
That's right. We have another guest host this week. Let's talk a little bit about Brian from. Would you say? Are you? Tell us where you're from, Brian, and kind of what you do.
I'm Brian from Geek Tyrant. I'm pretty much known as the horror guy. I have a syndicated interview column called Versus. You know,
that's where Brian versus, you know.
Yeah, like, Brian S. versus anybody who wants to come along, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
Brian S. versus Kevin Carr.
Ah, that hasn't happened yet.
That hasn't happened yet. Do movie reviews. I attend a lot of festivals and conventions in Geek Tyrant's name.
You're a big horror fan, like you said. That's how I got to know you, I think, because you were like, you're crazy into horror, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm a big fanatic. Yeah.
Do you like movies? You like movies other than horror movies? I mean, I know there's some people out there who like, if it doesn't have blood and an R rating, they don't watch it.
No, it's not me. I love comedies. I'm a big Will Ferrell fan. Corny, cheesy, give it to me. Yeah.
Cool. Well, this is not the first time you've been on the podcast on Fat Guys in the Movies, because I invited you on for the top 10 worst 10 of 2010 couple months ago. But this is your first time on Fat Guys proper, so welcome to the show. Thank you for being on the air with us. And well, while we're talking about that, how to get a hold of us, you can go to fatguysatthemovies.com. You can check us out on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys at the Movies, and we'll pop right up. You can go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/FGATM for Fat Guys at the Movies, FGATM. You can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or you can give us a voicemail. Send us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. We have one of those. Woohoo! We have one of those to play in the middle segment, so you want to stay tuned for that. It actually leads us into a great Fat Guy 5, so we will be talking more about that. I wanted to have Brian on. I was actually waiting, Brian, for the right time to have you on, because being a horror fan, I wanted to get a significant horror movie that came out the week that I would have you on. And, of course, we got Scream 4 coming out, or Scream, as it says in this on the poster.
Yeah, how do you pronounce that?
I don't know. It's maybe the four is silent.
I guess. Yeah.
but I know you. I know you're a big fan. I know you're highly anticipating that movie. We'll talk more about it in the next segment. But yeah, like I said, I've been wanting to have you on for a while, and I'm glad we had a chance to get you on.
Oh yeah, thanks for having me.
And you're a trooper, because you're feeling a little under the weather today. So,
yeah.
you know, what's funny is one more thing to get in touch with me is I have an account for Words with Friends, and I've been playing Words with Friends. Do you play Words with Friends at all?
No, I don't.
Do you have an iPhone? Have you taken that leap into the next era of technology? Do you have a smartphone?
I do have an iPhone, and I've seen you talk about it online, so I guess I'm a little behind.
It's basically Scrabble. And for anyone who was listening to my last podcast for the Idiot Box or the TV podcast, I did have a I was playing a game with an adult film actress who I follow on Twitter, and I'm proud to say I beat her at Words with Friends. the only people that I've actually have that I'm pretty good at it, and so Jeremy Kirk, who's been on the show, who writes for Film School Rejects and various other sites, he beat me once. And this this other woman I follow, she's from Australia, who's a big Kate Walsh fan. That's how because of the show Private Practice, she ended up getting to know me that way, and she beat me because she got a word that was worth 117 points. Which, for those who know how much that is, who play the game, it's ridiculous. So, you don't play. You should play. You should get.
I'll check that out. Yeah.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to hit me up, and my screen name on Words with Friends is AG Gecko, AGGECKO. So, anything else you want to? Anything else you got going on, Brian? That you kind of want to throw out there? You've got a comic book happening.
Yeah, my Crocodile Octopus comic book debuted at a WonderCon last weekend. I
love that name. It sort of sounds like it sounds like a rapper name for a lizard.
Yeah, well, yeah, Crocodile. You know, and a lot of people have a hard time pronouncing it, and it's one of the few big words that I can actually pronounce, and I'm proud of that. So I have
and
something
that is establishmentarianism.
But yeah, it's coming along. I'm proud of it. It's a great comic book. We have two different covers available. We have a blood soaked cover and an all ages cover, and
real blood.
It looks like real blood. We kind of got it. The great artist Dennis Willman did it for me in that cover, and it'll remind you a little bit of Jaws.
Okay. Now the story is it's about a young lizard from the projects who gets a rapping career.
Yeah, and he gets picked up by this wealthy business tycoon, and he takes him back to his penthouse.
Okay, one of those stories.
Well, it's Pretty Woman meets Creature Feature.
Creature, yeah.
You know, they live happily ever after.
I keep expecting like Usher to come out and be like, yeah, Crocolocopus in the house. Yeah,
that's my
Usher
comic
impression.
Book has like the Hallmark cards that plays music.
Does it really?
Yeah, we got Usher to come in and and drop some lines for us, and when you open the comic book, it plays Usher.
That's brilliant. So wait, so with a name like Crocoloctopus, Crocoloctopus?
Yeah.
Am I saying it right? Okay. It is about, I'm assuming it's about some sort of mutant octopus crocodile hybrid of some sort.
Yeah, you have your mad scientist in the beginning. And you see all his failed experiments, and he has this one success with a crocodile octopus hybrid, which is Crocoloctopus. He escapes and wreaks havoc in the town and out in the water.
That's awesome. How many pages is it in full color?
It's full color, 24 pages, and it has captured the attention of the Sci-Fi Channel.
Awesome.
Yes.
That would be great.
And
they've
Fatal
had Shark Octopus.
Hello, Fatal Pictures.
Awesome. How much is it? And can you get it by going to crocoloctopus.com or something like
that? Yeah, it's $5. And you can go to crocoloctopus.com.
I'm sure that you that was available when you ordered that domain.
Yes, it was. but yeah, they can go pick up. You know, they have a choice of the two different covers. And shipping is only $1.
Awesome. While people are doing that, I'm going to introduce and play the trailer, and then we'll go to break for Rio, which we'll review in the next segment. It's about a blue macaw that's brought back to Rio de Janeiro to mate with the last female of his species, only to be burdened by exotic pet smugglers.
Your macaw is a very special bird. In fact, Blue is the last male of his kind.
I have a kind?
The only other blue macaw is in Rio de Janeiro.
Brazil?
Rio, Rio.
No! The last blue macaws on Earth. These are worth a fortune.
I can't.
What? You can't what?
Oh,
you can't fly! Is there anything else I need to know?
Yes, I can't fly, I pick my beak, and once in a while I pee in the birdbath.
And welcome back to Fat Guys in the Movies. We are in the second segment. We just heard the trailer for Rio, which is an animated film. I got a chance to take my kid up to go see it. I had to go out of town, but you know what? It actually makes economic sense for like a 3D movie like that for me to go out of town because by the time I spend the gas money is about how much I would have to pay to take my kids to go see the movie in town with the 3D prices. So it's kind of a wash, and it makes a nice little trip for the kids. Are you looking forward to this movie at all? Are you interested, Brian?
I'll check it out when it's out on Blu-ray.
when it's on video.
Yeah.
It tends to be a kid's movie. It's made by the guys who did Ice Age. And, Fox Animation Studios, they blow hot and cold. The Ice Age movies have been okay. The first one was cute. The second one was eh. The third one was cute, but not as good. If it was Scrat 24/7, I would have preferred. But this one has some voices. Jesse Eisenberg plays the main macaw, and I have to admit, I'm kind of done with Jesse Eisenberg.
I concur.
Yeah, I mean, it's like he was good in The Social Network, but here's the thing: every character he plays is the same character, and I'm quickly annoyed with him. I mean, going back to like when I saw him in Cursed, you saw that, I'm sure you did.
Oh yeah.
Big Wes Craven fan. He was in that, and I thought he was good, but then plays kind of the same person in, what was he in? Before that was Zombieland. He was kind of the same character, and then, of course, he was in The Social Network and got an Oscar nomination. Here he basically plays Mark Zuckerberg, less of a jerk and with more feathers. So... it also has Anne Hathaway plays the macaw. You don't see as much of her as you do in Love and Other Drugs, so that's a trade off. But I mean, it's cute. I mean, it's not great. Has moments of gorgeous brilliance in terms of the animation and the birds and the way they emulate Rio. I mean, there's parts of it that are just awesome, and then there's other parts that just seem really, really, really forced. With the story and the characters, it seems like they had an idea, but it didn't really fill out the entire movie. Does that work for you?
Sounds good. It's good for the kids.
It's good for the kids.
Yeah.
It's 3D. It looks good in 3D, like most animated films do.
I'd rather see Anne Hathaway in the flesh than as a cartoon character anyway. So
I prefer seeing her in her flesh, and see her flesh. And did you see Love and Other Drugs? She was like naked in half that movie.
No, but thanks for letting me know that, because I'll be checking that out now.
When Fox sent out my Blu-ray screener of that to me when it came out on video, on DVD and Blu-ray, they actually on the box they said warning has naked Anne Hathaway and Jake Gyllenhaal in it. I'm like, they covered everybody, the men, the women, the gay men, the lesbians. Everybody wanted to see. Somebody wants to see everybody naked in that movie, or. Everyone wants to see somebody naked in that movie. So that was a nice little marketing campaign.
Well, I definitely want to see Anne Hathaway naked, so I'll be checking that out.
The bird's naked, but there you go. Yeah. I'm going to say it kind of rocks. That's for my fat guy's grade. Let's move on to the big reason that I think you're excited for this weekend, and that is Scream 4. More scares as Ghostface starts killing again in the new millennium.
Here is my Withboro Massacre anniversary question. What is your favorite scary movie?
What's your favorite scary movie?
One generation's tragedy is the next one's joke.
What is your favorite scary movie, man?
I'll show you.
This week marks the anniversary of the infamous Woodsboro murders. Local celebrity victim Sydney Prescott chose to return to her hometown.
Welcome home, Sydney. Watch the preview of coming events.
You actually haven't had a chance to see this yet, have you?
I haven't. I've had little teasers and sneaks, and had my little fun with Scream 4 at Horror Hound Weekend a few weekends ago. That's it.
You're crazy excited for this, aren't you, though?
Oh, yeah, I am. New decade, new rules.
Now, let me ask you this. What'd you think of the first three movies? I know the first one was, of course, kind of redefined the slasher genre for the 90s, but what'd you think of Scream 2 and Scream 3?
I loved Scream. Scream was, that movie. It changed things for the horror industry. I liked the second one. I liked all three, but to me, the third one was the weakest. They did have problems. They had rewrites. Just really like they, Kevin Williamson and. You knew about the drama, and nobody wants to hear about the drama. Everybody wants it to be great.
Yeah.
And the drama, when you start hearing about drama, it turns you off sometimes. But it's a great trilogy.
Yeah. Well, now a quadrilogy.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just starting it all over, and Craven and Williamson, they were interviewed earlier this week with Entertainment Weekly, and they were asked if they'd do 5 and 6, and they're like, if this one makes money. And I'm like, that's a given. It'll make its money back this weekend.
Unless they spent $150 million to make the movie, which they didn't. If it's your standard horror movie, $20, $30 million, I mean, I don't know how much it is for, like, Courtney Cox or Kat. I don't know if she commands a high salary.
I don't think so.
I don't know. They both need to pay for their separation / divorce / reintegration ceremony at some point. My biggest problem with the third movie is, and if you listen to the commentary on the film, they basically admit to this. They purposely were trying to not say any one particular person was the killer. And that just made it muddled. Then it's just like, well, now it just is just confusing at that point. And it just becomes sort of silly because they're like, oh, we're trying to trick you. Whereas, first ones, it felt like they had a definite idea as to who the bad guys were, who was Ghostface, in the first couple films. This one, I'm hearing some buzz. I'm hearing some good buzz about it. I'm hearing mixed. There's some people who like it, some people who didn't, which you get it with every movie. But it's sort of like basically the word on the street is it's kind of big dumb fun.
Yeah, I've read a few reviews, and the ones I've read,
spoiler free, of course. Just remember, spoiler free.
Spoiler free. You know, the ones I've read, they did like it. It's not an instant classic, but it's good. It's good fun.
Well, it's interesting because I actually have to give props to Wes Craven, because here's somebody who has really reinvigorated his own franchises. I mean, he has done this several times, and whether he's behind the camera to direct or not, because obviously he directed Last House on the Left. Hills Have Eyes. He directed that remake, correct? Did he direct that remake, or was that? No, that was Alexander Aja. So he had him do that one, and he didn't direct the remake of Last House on the Left. Did not direct the remake of Freddy Krueger, although he should have, because that was crap.
Yeah.
But if you look at all of the franchises, first of all, he was so well known in the 70s and 80s for those movies, and then he came right back around, and whether as a producer or writer or as a director, he's really, stuck his hands back in the horror genre after making movies about violins and stuff like that. And, he made, even stuff like Red Eye, which is a brand new movie, or Cursed, which I loved. I thought was hilarious.
I thought it was fun, yeah. It had a lot of problems, though.
Well, have you seen the unrated version? It's one of those few movies where I'm like, if you're going to get it, make a point to watch the unrated version, because it is drastically different than the PG-13 theatrical release, because he was contractually obligated to do a PG-13 cut, but he shot an R-rated movie. You've seen the uncut version of it, haven't you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so different because there's so much more blood and violence. It has, because it was stupid. I mean, a werewolf giving people the bird.
Oh yeah, it's great.
Scott Baio commanding all the power over his publicist. That's I think part of the joke in that movie. Yeah. He's able to sort of spoof his own movies without making it an outright, Freeburg and Seltzer kind of spoof. So, I do know a lot of people that are really, really looking forward to Scream 4.
I am, and, yeah.
So, by the time this airs, I will probably have seen it or almost have seen it, because I'll be checking it out at midnight. I think it's going to do incredibly well this weekend. I think I hope it lives up to. I hope it's better than the third movie. That's my biggest. It's sort of like Shrek.
I've heard it is. That's someone else's opinion though. But I'll tell you, as cheesy as I am anyway, if others are saying it's better than 2 and 3, I'm sure it's going to be great for me.
Yeah. Well, good. I think that's about it. Hopefully, the only complaint I've heard is that they say sometimes it gets over self-referential, and but you know what, the movies that series has always been that way. So I have to give it a preemptive suck because it didn't screen it inside my hometown, but I'm still going to go see it.
Me too.
Hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are in the infamous middle segment. Thank you for again for Brian Shirley coming on to talk about Scream and the fact that he's anticipating horror movies. Are there any other horror movies this year that you're really looking forward to?
This year, what's coming out this year?
Well, you're the expert.
I might like transition into sci-fi geek mode.
Okay.
You know, Transformers, Dark of the Moon. It's. I think Michael Bay is going to redeem himself with this.
What about the superhero? You're into the superhero movies.
Oh yeah, the Green Lantern. You know, the first little teaser trailer. They put out for it, everybody got worried, and then the WonderCon footage that they showed the other weekend, this thing looks great, it looks epic.
I can't wait for that. I always loved Green Lantern, the comic book. That's probably the one I'm anticipating the most this summer. And plus it seems everyone's, and this is the thing I always get on fanboys for this, but they're like, oh, it needs to be darker and heavier, we need a more grim version. I'm like, no. You went back and read the comics in the 70s and 60s even. It was not, you know, brooding death and destruction, hatred and you know, that's this needs to be for a wide audience. And it looks like Green Lantern's going to hit the wide audience. It's going to be serious when it needs to be, but it can be whimsical. It's still going to be a comic book movie.
Yeah.
You don't need it to be like the old Super Friends television show, but not everything needs to be the Dark Knight. So
right, I really think this is going to be something special.
I can't wait. That's the one I'm looking forward to the most. I mean, Thor looks interesting, but no, Green Lantern. Green Lantern is my movie for this year. So hopefully it lives up.
Right.
Let's talk about the box office winners from this week. Here's a little bit. You know, were you surprised at all? Hop won with about 21 million. And then Hannah ended up coming in second. They said Arthur was going to come in second. Hannah came in second, beat it by about $150,000. Then you had Soul Surfer. And then Your Highness came in sixth, although it was a very scant sixth. But Insidious beat Your Highness. And Insidious has been out for a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's doing good.
I loved Insidious. Did you like Insidious?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, man. You call yourself a movie reviewer?
Yeah, I'm a movie guy. I haven't seen it yet.
Brian S. versus Insidious. You got to check that out.
I did get to interview Philip Freeman, though.
Did he? Was he the writer?
He is the creepy lady.
Oh, okay.
We have a dude that plays the creepy lady.
Well, you know, that's not the first time that's happened.
Nope, it's not the first. It won't be the last either. He does a great job. I just haven't had a chance to see it yet.
Yeah, Insidious is a neat little horror movie. One thing I do have to vent a little bit about the box office, especially when Arthur looked like it was going to be the number two spot. Arthur was an okay movie. It was cute, but it wasn't fantastic. I think part of it is the story is a very 80s kind of story, and it was kind of didn't quite make the leap to the next decade that we're hoping Scream would. But a lot of people were saying, oh, you know, Russell Brand gets the top two spots. And I'm like, look, nobody is seeing Hop because Russell Brand did the voice of the rabbit. You know, it'd be like saying people went and saw The Lion King because Matthew Broderick.
Well, you know, I didn't know that until you mentioned that the other day. I didn't know Russell Brand was Hop.
Yeah, it's just sort of, if you listen to him and he's doing a softer voice, he's not being his manic self. He just sounds like a generic high-pitched Englishman. I mean, it could be Anthony Daniels, you know, C-3PO doing the voice of the rabbit. They're seeing it because it's about the Easter Bunny. That's why people are seeing Hop.
Yeah.
And Arthur, I think that Arthur shows that he doesn't have the star power to command an opening. But like I said, I mean, no one saw The Lion King because It starred Matthew Broderick. I was just watching Incredibles on Blu-ray. Nobody saw that because they're like, oh my God, I love Holly Hunter. We must go see The Incredibles because she's the voice of Elastigirl. You know, I mean, nobody did. People saw it because it's a cartoon and it's for kids and it's a great movie. That sort of thing. I wouldn't say Hop's a great movie. Hop's okay. But Your Highness was not that good. I finally saw it. It was terrible. It was weed and dick jokes in the Middle Ages.
Oh. Yeah, well, yeah, well, with Danny McBride in it, and, you know, considering who, you know, who made it.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to get.
I was surprised you should have had Seth Rogen show up, because, I mean, he's like, hey,
yeah.
Turns to smoke weed in a movie? I'll be there.
I know, man. Where was Seth Rogen?
He was making Paul, apparently. So, what do you think is going to win this weekend? Scream? Think Scream's going to win, or do you think Rio?
Oh, boy. You know,
that's a tough one, isn't
If I was to guess, I think Scream 4 will squeak by.
I think Scream 4 is going to win pretty hefty. I think it's going to be a good... I think it's going to be... It's going to be comparable to Nightmare on Elm Street remake from last year. What did that make, about $40 million this first weekend? Something like that?
I'll predict. I'm just guessing $60 million. Over the weekend.
60? You're thinking 60 for Scream 4?
Yeah, it's an established franchise. And
really?
There's the new generation, they're stoked about it. The old generation, we're stoked about it. So yeah, I'm going with 60. Final
wow.
answer.
60. I'm taking the moment right now. I'm kind of vamping here, trying to be subtle, but Nightmare on Elm Street, here's the I don't know. I'm looking up how much The Nightmare on Elm Street made as in its first weekend. Just hold on a second. I'm doing my quick search in Box Office Mojo. I think it's up for that level of opening weekend. And okay, Nightmare on Elm Street opened right around the same time. It opened only almost in the same window in April. It had $32 million, almost $33 million its opening weekend. I think you're going to see it closer to that. I mean, you're right. Scream is a closer franchise. The Scream movies sort of replaced the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, at least in the 90s and into the two. The last one was Scream 3. Was that in 2000?
2000?
Was that when it came out?
I think so, yeah.
Because I know they're saying, you know, new decade technically, but it was really, even if Scream 3 was a movie that came out in 2000, it still definitely a 90s movie. It's a 90s kind of film. Yeah, it came out in February of 2000. So I think the younger generation, the kids in college are and even the 20-somethings are going to remember these movies from when they were teenagers, and that's the stuff that's going to really propel Scream 4, but I don't know. I don't see it making much more than $47 million. And Rio, I think Rio is going to probably be right around 30 as well. Scream 4 will beat it, but the reason I'm saying Rio is going to have a harder time is because it is competing with Hop, which has already had two solid weekends. You got another two weekends before Easter, and you suddenly now have competition in the marketplace where Scream's biggest genre competition is going to be Insidious, which, while it's a great movie, it's already had a couple weeks and it's only making $10 million last weekend, $9 million last weekend, which is fantastic for a million-dollar movie. But there's really not – there's not a big wash of horror films out right now, but there is a big wash of – because not only do you have Rio coming out, you got Hop, you also have Rango still in the theaters – you still have kids' movies out there.
Do you think the R rating will hurt Scream 4?
That's going to make it harder to get more. Will it hurt it? Yes and no. I mean, it's going to hurt it in the sense that you're going to lose the PG-13 crowd, but I think if it went PG-13, you'd lose a huge excitement of the audience.
Yeah, I wouldn't want a PG-13 Scream 4. And, you know, there was talk about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and they want to do that. I think R-rated horror still has its place. I mean, like I said, Nightmare on Elm Street came out, and it was $32 million. That's not a bad showing for a reboot of a franchise. Not everything can be the Friday the 13th. That's the thing with the Friday the 13th. When they did that, that was very front-loaded with his box office, and it just just sunk like a stone afterwards, even though I thought that was a pretty cool reboot of the film. But if you're going to do a slasher movie, it's got to be yeah. R. And you're going to, for any audience you gain from being able to go see the PG-13 version, you're going to lose in diehard fans not going to see it. Yeah. All those kids who were waiting to go see the King's Speech PG-13 yeah. movie will have to wait, apparently.
Well, let me ask you something.
So,
do you think
sure.
if Scream 4 didn't have any competition with Hop, do you think it would get closer to my prediction?
I don't think so. I think it'd be great if it did. Isn't that the numbers that Friday the 13th did? That was close. Friday the 13th had huge numbers its opening weekend, and then it like dropped something like 80%. But I really don't think you're getting much competition. I mean, I think the audience that's going to go see Scream is not the audience that's going to see Hop, and vice versa. I just don't. I mean, I think if it's going to have any competition of previously released films, the closest it's going to get is sort of the college crowd that was going to see Your Highness. So.
Okay.
So I guess the answer is no.
Okay.
We'll yeah. see. I mean, I think it's going to have huge midnights, and I think it's going to do really well on Friday, and then it'll drop off because it's very much that college kid. Teenager movie, which they tend to be a more front-loaded audience.
Yeah.
So let's. Does that answer your question? Do you have any more things you want to know from the word of Kevin?
I'm good. I'm sticking to it. Final answer.
That's cool. Hey, you know what? If it comes in at $70 million, I'm gonna like tip my hat to you, man, because that's a bold prediction. Anyways, but you know, it's not uncommon for that stuff to happen because Fast and Furious, the fourth Fast and Furious movie, that one had a $72 million opening weekend in April that nobody saw
right,
coming.
Right.
You know, so it's not unheard of for this to happen. I just think it's already a crowded spring. There's a lot of stuff out, so we'll see. But next we got a listener voicemail. This is from Gabe from Arizona, a new caller. So welcome, Gabe. I had a hard time hearing the voicemail sort of crackled at the time. Said your name. So if I got your name wrong, I apologize. I'm pretty sure it's not Aloysius. So I'm pretty sure it's Gabe. But he has a voicemail for us. So let's play that real quick.
Hey guys, this is Steve from Arizona. And I just have a couple of topics to bring up. Number one, where do you draw the line between a leave your brain at the door feature, whereas you can turn off all senses and just enjoy the movie, such as Piranha 3D, and then other idiotic movies like The Room, no matter how you approach it, it's still horrible. And the second is a Fat Guy 5 idea. What series should have stopped when it was on top and yet continued to disintegrate with more sequels, such as The Godfather should have stopped at 2, Indiana Jones should have stopped at The Last Crusade, Saw 3, and this is in time for a Scream 4. Thanks.
Okay, let's take the first question. We're going to leave that second question for the Fat Guy 5. But the first question, where do you draw the line with a movie where you leave your brain at the door? Brian, what do you think? At what point does it cease being a quality film and just become a stupid movie that you can enjoy?
Well, the story. You know, if it sucks you in and it has no direction, it's going to lose everybody. Mm-hmm.
See, I think there's more of a continuum there. There are movies that I think are, I'm going to use a great example of one that kind of falls between quality flick and leave your brain at the door, and that's Sucker Punch. I know that there's a lot of people who hated that movie. But it's not as bad as everyone said it is. I mean, it's really not. It's not the worst movie of 2011. It's got some really cool stuff that makes it a quality film, but it is kind of just stupid. And hey, let's just watch these hot girls running around in like fishnet stockings and push-up bras.
Yeah.
So I mean, there is a leave your brain at the door mentality, and if you take that going in, but if you're expecting something really really quality, you're not going to get it. I think what works against it, I think the bigger the budget, when it's a huge, huge, huge movie, like we talked about, you know, Green Lantern or Thor. Those movies, you can't really do Leave Your Brain at the Door with those, because it needs to be more than that. You know, that's why I think hurt Transformers 2. Is it totally was a Leave Your Brain at the Door movie, but it was a $200 million Leave Your Brain at the Door movie.
I think, but
if you talk about something, he mentions, Gabe mentions Piranha 3D. I loved Piranha 3D, and I think part of it is at least the filmmakers have to know what they're producing. I think Dimension and Alexandra Aja, is that how you say his name? I think when they did Piranha, they knew exactly what they say. We are doing a movie with boobs and blood and fish that eat people, and it's not meant to be, you know, an award winning film. It's just meant to be a complete and total exploitation movie. Whereas you take something like say due to another Wes Craven movie, Last House on the Left, when they did that remake, it was an okay movie. I'm not big into the rape murders movies, but they were striving for something more than just exploitation with that movie, whereas the original was totally exploitation. So, I don't know. I think for it to be a Leave Your Brain at the Door, they have to be in on the joke, and it just has to revel in its own entertainment. And it can't be too expensive to make, because then it just becomes a waste. So, but then there's movies like The Room. I wouldn't call, have you seen The Room?
No, Brian? I haven't.
Are you familiar with it at all?
I've heard of it. That's it.
Oh, you have to. You go get it. Go sit down with some friends on like a Saturday night and watch this movie. It is the most incomprehensible mess you will ever see of a movie. It is like, it's a terrible film, and it's just got all these problems with it, but it's so entertaining because it's such a mess. Those I actually don't count as a Leave Your Brain at the Door, because they're not meant to be that. They're not meant to go that far, and that's what makes them so entertaining, is because it's unintentionally funny, and those I think are great. But I hope that answers your question, Gabe. And if you want to leave us another one, that's great. Give us a call. Next, we're going to use yours as the question leading into the Fat Guy Five, and that is the five franchises that should have stopped. Now, Gabe used the three choices he did in Indiana Jones. He said they should have not have made the third one, the fourth one. Godfather, they should have stopped at two. And Saw, they should have stopped at three. First of all, I don't necessarily agree with all those. Godfather, I think they probably could have stopped at two. Three was a little unnecessary, but I do see where Coppola was trying to complete the arc of Michael Corleone. But we were talking about this before the show started. I will defend Indiana Jones 4. You liked Indiana Jones 4,
didn't
you, Brian?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, it's just one of those movies that it's fun, and that is kind of a. It was along the lines of Indiana Jones 2, Temple of Doom, and Kingdom of the Crystal Skull seemed very similar to me, in tone and feel. And when I was 12, I saw Temple of Doom, and I loved it. And I took my kids when they were little. So, I mean, I understand there's a lot of people that hated Indy 4, I understand where that comes from. But I want to see, what do you think about Saw? He used Saw as an example. Should have stopped at 3. What do you think?
I've enjoyed the Saw franchise. It had a few weak entries in it. To me, the fit...
Like the last one?
You know what? I enjoyed the last one. The fifth
really?
One, to me, was the worst one. The last one, when I watched it, it blew me away. And it was. It was a cheese. It was a gory cheese fest, because all they did was make a movie around inventive traps. That was it.
That was my complaint with the last Saw movies. At that point, sort of like the... I got in an argument with another critic about whether or not Saw has a moral center, and I said it totally does, because Jigsaw makes his traps to punish people for being wicked, for lack of a better term, or for being ingrates to their life, and that was completely gone by the seventh movie. It was so far gone that I guess for the Gorehound, just to watch the traps, yeah, there were some pretty cool traps.
That's it for me. I could have watched it on mute. say. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. I'll give you that. I don't know. I don't know if I'd say it should have ended at 3, but I do think it did lose its steam 3 or 4. It does turn. Did kind of once Jigsaw was like dead and gone and buried for like, you know, once his head's cut off, and then the autopsy tray.
Well, I love how he had everything so planned out that he just kept. You know, he recorded himself for how many four more sequels. Because,
well, it just got ridiculous after a while.
He knew who he's going after, and he had a plan.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think 3 was the one where he died, right? Isn't that the one where he finally got shot?
Yeah, it was. You know, on the operating table, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you like Cary Elwes coming back?
He's the worst actor on the planet. I'm sorry. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but oh my god, the worst, the most ridiculous moment in any Saw movie is when he's actually cutting his foot off in the first movie, because I don't believe a moment of that. It's just like, Cary, just scream really loud. We'll buy it no matter what. So, we're going to do our Fat Guy 5. And that is 5 franchises that should have stopped from the Kevin and Brian perspective. The first one, do you want to take this first one? Because you had this on your suggestion list too.
Halloween.
Yeah. Where do you think it should have stopped? I think that's the bigger point. Where do you think Halloween should have stopped?
Halloween 2. Yeah.
Halloween 2? Okay. You're not a fan of the Season of the Witch?
Well, you know what? I am, but when I first saw it, and there was no Michael Myers in it, it disappointed me, and it disappointed a lot of other people. But as a standalone,
well, you know the whole purpose of
good.
That. It's a fun 80s schlocky. It's got Tom Atkins and his mustache in it. How can you go wrong?
Yeah.
That's what I have to say. I think you're right. Well, I would actually go. I don't know. There's to be real strict, I'd say it should have stopped at 1. I thought 1. Left it, and 2, while stupid and fun, was a huge step down in quality and tone and delivery. So that's my opinion of Halloween 1 versus Halloween 2. Halloween 3, they were trying to go back to the Carpenter's original idea of doing a different horror movie every Halloween. That failed miserably. And they didn't resurrect it until, what, like 89 or something like that? So I think it really should have just ended with it should have ended with 1. On the other hand, were Halloween 1 not have been so successful, had Halloween 1 not have been so successful, and then you made Halloween 2, you wouldn't have started the slasher franchise, which I think you owe the fact that Halloween did well in its sequels to that. You owe slashers owe that to Halloween. So, but they should have stopped long before Rob Zombie got his hands on it, because Jesus Christ, what a mess that was.
I agree.
I don't know. I mean, I thought 4 was okay, but yeah, it was a little unnecessary. The next one on the list I'm going to say is the Revenge of the Nerds series. Again, they shouldn't even have made sequels to this. By the time they finished with the sequels, they were making TV movies.
I know. I remember watching like 2 when Fox first started. I was like 11 or 12. I remember. Some Revenge of the Nerds TV movies.
Yeah. I don't know how many they made. I don't even care. Even the second one was a PG-13 movie. And the same thing happened to the Police Academy. That could have been on the list. The Police Academy movies. Start with 1, end with 1. All the subsequent sequels were absolute shite from beginning to end.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some minor funny things, but huge, huge step down. Next one on the list is Shrek. Are you a fan of the Shrek movies, Brian?
Yeah, I am.
Do you like all of them, even 3?
Three? You know, admit it, you I like 3, the first you? 2, but, you know, okay. it's I think it's a case of just milking it dry.
Yeah.
Unnecessary.
It just makes so much money. And
it's for the kids.
I thought the first one was cool. The second one I thought was even better. The third one, it was a huge letdown. And the fourth one was better than the third one, but it's still, it still was like, yeah, you're like, it reeked of them just trying to replay the genre of the franchise over and over and over again. By the time the fourth one came out, the whole twisted fairy tale, jokes on the genre, all that, that's all kind of all played its course.
Yeah.
So, the next one, Jaws.
Right.
Where should they have stopped with Jaws?
I'll go with one.
God, I think we've come to a common theme. Usually, it's most of the time, if it's a movie series that's overstayed its welcome, should have ended
such
with,
a classic.
With the first movie.
And it's considered.
Oh, it's awesome!
It really is considered a horror movie, a monster movie, mm-hmm. and you know
it
these
is.
Directors. You know, these studios keep the rights to these movies to where they can destroy them like this. And there's very few writers, filmmakers, who hold on to the rights to these movies.
Well, the only ones who can do that are people like Lucas, who actually does, in fact, own the franchise. Most people
right.
don't. And then, I mean, like they've knocked around an idea for, like, an E.T. sequel for 30 years, and it just Spielberg has... I don't think Spielberg owns the rights to it. I think Universal owns the rights. Universal could make an E.T. 2, but if they don't have Spielberg's yeah. blessing, it's not going to get off the ground, because nobody wants to touch that. Nobody wants to make the sequel to E.T. and make it be like Mac and Me.
Oh, my God. No.
And, which is sort of the unofficial sequel. But you're right. Jaws should have ended with one. Jaws 2 was stupid. I'm sorry. There's a lot of people who love it for the nostalgia. He eats a freaking helicopter at one point. That's the dumbest shark move ever in a movie. And it's just a replay of the second. The pacing's stupid. And then the third movie, I enjoyed the third movie. I remember seeing it in 3D back in 1983 or whenever it came out. And having a blast watching it. I recently rewatched it. It's silly and stupid. It's better than 2, but it's silly and stupid. And then the fourth movie. Oh, damn. Seriously. I mean, have you seen the fourth Jaws?
You know, I probably have, but don't remember it.
It stars Academy Award winner Michael Caine.
Yeah.
In fact, when he won the award, I think it was for Hannah and Her Sisters, he was on set in Jamaica or wherever they were in the tropics, so he couldn't actually go to the ceremony. Jaws the Revenge prevented Michael Caine from receiving his Oscar.
Well, he'll always remember that moment.
That's he sure will. That's for damn sure. But no, again, at the end of it, the shark leaps out of the water and roars. It is because, like, Mario Van Peebles with the worst, like, Jamaican accent ever is trying to shoot at the shark or something. And he's like, the shark's coming out of the water going, roar. And I'm like, they don't have vocal cords. They don't breathe in air. It is impossible. It is, like, biologically impossible for a shark to roar like that. So,
oh, wow. I've got to, like, get that on. I've got to get that
on
Netflix,
Netflix
like now. I've got to hear a shark roar.
It's at the end. Don't sit through the whole movie. Just go right to the end.
You know, they should come out with like a director's cut or unrated version, and add Michael Caine's look on his face in the special features. When his Oscar's being given out.
Yeah, say this. They should like say they do the, like pop up video and be like, oh, at this point when they're filming this scene, he should be in Los Angeles accepting an Oscar for the best supporting actor or whatever it was. That's hilarious. Take us to the next one. What's the last one on the list? This was your suggestion. It's a great suggestion, and it's one that should not have ended at one. This is what's great. You got it.
Alien.
Yeah.
Oh. What do you think?
Where should this have ended?
I think it should have ended at Aliens 2.
Yeah. Should have ended at 2. One of the rare ones on the list that should have ended. Well, Shrek should have ended at 2 as well. But yeah. Anything to say about the Aliens
franchise
on this?
Well, 3 destroyed it for me. Alien Resurrection, I enjoyed. But it just... It wasn't the same anymore. Alien and Aliens.
The hybrid had
boobies.
It's
just, those are classic. Those are epic.
Yeah, the first two were fantastic. The third one, everyone, and it's so funny because now that Fincher is such a huge director, and so artistic director. They're people who will go and suddenly, oh, no, he was just, the Fox was just doing all this horrible stuff to him and everything. I'm like, no, Fincher wasn't playing the game. Fincher was being a prima donna. It is as much Fincher's fault that Aliens 3 is an absolute clusterfuck as it is Fox's fault. So I blame Fincher as much as I blame Fox because he wasn't playing the game. And then Alien 4, I don't know what that French guy was taking, but damn, what? It's just Alien with the boobies, and it has just this weird tone to it. And it was the best part is they like crashed the ship into like India, and they're like, oh, well, bitches, that continent's gone. You know, I mean, it's just they're there to save Earth, and then the alternate ending is they didn't save Earth because it had already been wiped out, you know, human race and nuclear bomb. I mean, it's just it is. I can't pronounce the guy's last name because I'm not even going to try. Let's just call him Aloysius. I'll use that name again. His version of the movie. I respect what he was trying to do, but it was a mess. And I did like the Alien versus Predator.
I did too. I thought Requiem was dark, too dark. If they could have lightened it up some, and that's it. You know,
the pregnant alien babies was a little much. But when you go after pregnant women in a horror movie, I don't care whether it's R rated or not, you're gonna turn away some of the audience. So, the dishonorable mention. For this is Arthur. They should have stopped with Arthur in 1981. They should not have made Arthur 2 on the rocks. They should not have made the remake. It was just not right. So those are the that's the Fat Guy 5. Is there anything else you want to just like vent real quickly on any other franchise you want to vent on?
You know, I pulled a good one on you last week or week before last when I told you that they had greenlit another Lynn Fockers movie.
Oh my God! And did you remember what I called it? What it's going to be? What it would be called?
They're going to do it because this one made a lot of money.
This one just printed money, and it.
I know everybody was mad. Oh look, it's been number one 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. And you know it's going to be called Motherfucker. That's totally what it's going to be.
We'll see it.
Oh, I hate this. That one should have. That's another one. I thought the original Meet the Parents was cute. It was an okay movie. Second one actually wasn't terrible. Third one was just.
Well, you know, Ben Stiller, he's another one of those actors to me who he's the same character in every movie, pretty much. And even though some of his movies are funny.
I mean, I like him when his stock character works, it's funny. But sometimes it doesn't. All right, well, we got to go to a break. We're over time. So we are going to come back. We're going to wrap you up. And welcome back to Fat Guys of the Movies. We are ready to get you out of this show. This is the final segment. We talked a little bit about Scream 4. We talked a little bit about Rio. We talked a little about Jesse Eisenberg and Wes Craven which is funny because Jesse Eisenberg's in Rio and he worked with Wes Craven on Cursed. And we also talked about five franchises that really kind of overstayed their welcome. Now it's time to do something else. What do we got coming up here now, Brian?
It's the world famous DVD roundup.
You know, I got to give you credit, Brian. You picked up on that really. There's some people, some guest hosts are really intimidated by that world famous DVD roundup thing. You just jumped right in there. You grabbed the bull by the horns.
Oh, thanks, man.
Congratulations, man. So we're going to talk DVDs. Is there anything that's really caught your eye this week or even like the last couple weeks? If there's anything that you're.
I've really enjoyed my Tron Legacy Blu-ray combo pack.
Beautiful. Isn't it beautiful?
Oh, yeah. I love it. You know, mediocre story with effects like that, it's a masterpiece.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? Everyone got all down on Tron Legacy for having some story and character issues, but I'm like, the original is the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some story and character issues with that. Did you get the original on Blu-ray too?
No. I've watched it. I revisited it, but I did get Tron Legacy On Blu-ray, yeah.
You're a little younger than me. I was like 11, 10 or 11 when Tron, the first Tron came out.
Should I pick up Tron?
It's worth seeing. I mean, I don't know.
Well,
I mean,
I've watched it, but should I own it since I own the second one?
Well, I mean, it's a beautiful Blu-ray. They go back because it originally was printed on 70mm film. So the transfer is gorgeous. But I mean, I think it's a great buy, but I don't necessarily recommend anyone picking up a movie that they're not going to watch a couple times.
Right.
So,
Tron it's Legacy, it's a instant classic. Yeah. I love it.
Beautiful soundtrack. Yeah. And it looks gorgeous. This week, what's coming out, we have Dallas, the complete movie collection. They've now gone through all the seasons of Dallas on DVD. They've got the movie collection, so if you haven't watched the movies they made in the 80s and 90s, you can now see those, including the reunion special. So that's cool. Narnia, The Chronicles of Narnia, Voyage of the Dawn Treader came out last Friday. So it's a weird sort of time, and I always kind of put it on this week's cycle because I always think that if it doesn't come out on Tuesday, it's not going to be covered until the next week. That's just, I mean, they did it because it's a kids movie, and so families can go get it on Friday night, which was last Friday, and watch it or get it for the weekend. But again, a nice Blu-ray pack, definitely worth checking out. It was a fun movie, not as great as the first one, but it was still worthy of the series. Speaking of series, you got Harry Potter 7.1. That's out on Blu-ray and DVD. So are you a big Harry Potter fan?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. I wasn't in the beginning, but once I gave it a try, man, yeah, they're great movies.
It really picks up. There's a couple of them that, I mean, 5 was a little bit of a stumble, but I thought 6 was really good. 4 was pretty good. 3 was great. This new one, some people have complained about the new one having, you know, being a little bit too much talkiness and that sort of thing, but I like the fact they got out of Hogwarts for once. So, you know. When the world's coming to an end and kids are getting killed, it's kind of hard to make them go to math class.
Yeah, I mean, you got to, like, run for cover, right?
Yeah, so, and also, but this is my top pick of the week, The Incredibles on Blu-ray.
I agree.
Love this movie. It looks gorgeous on Blu-ray. It's made for Blu-ray. It still holds up. It's one of the best superhero movies ever made.
It's my favorite animated movie of all time.
Yeah, I mean, I love WALL-E. I think WALL-E's my favorite, but The Incredibles is a close second. It is just such a fantastic movie. Just watched it again, and it is just so beautiful and gorgeous. It's got the best. It's got just awesome soundtrack, awesome design, character design, set design, effects, excitement. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy this film, so I cannot recommend this enough. And for the stinker of the week, we have the epic, not-so-epic movie, Country Strong. Did you see Country Strong, Brian?
No, I didn't.
I have no idea why you would. Well, you're from the South, so...
Yeah, well...
There's country music, isn't that...
I don't listen to country...
What?
Stereotype. I don't listen to country music.
I'm from Ohio. Country music's huge in Ohio,
I'm a headbanger.
So. Oh, you are? That's right. There you go.
But I am a Gwyneth Paltrow fan.
You are?
Yeah, I am.
Gwyneth, you're into Gwyneth.
I'd like to put her like right beside whoever we was talking about a while ago.
Let's not get gross now. you'd like to go headbanging with Gwyneth Paltrow. Is that good enough to say?
Yeah, I'd like to go to a little karaoke bar with her. Yeah. Have a few cocktails.
There you go. All right. It was a terrible movie. Don't watch Country Strong. It's awful. So let's wrap this up. We've got the reviews. Rio, I said, kind of rocks. Scream 4, I had to contractually give it a preemptive suck because they didn't screen it for us. But I hope it's better than the third. And if it is, it'll probably be pretty enjoyable. And you want to see that, too.
Yes.
So. Excuse me. Talking a lot today. We've got coming up next week. You got Water for Elephants with the constipated looking Robert Pattinson. We've got African Cats, the latest Earth Day movie from Disney Nature, and Tyler Perry's Big Happy Family, which they're certainly not screening for anybody. So thank you, Brian Shirley from Geek Tyrant and Croctoloctopus.
Croctoloctopus.com. buy you a comic book.
Boom. Yes. Talk to you guys next week.
Thanks for having me.